It is Mike Lampantino from 99.1 PLR. Of course, you're checking us out at WPLR.com, and we're glad that you're here with us. And on the line with you now is Scott Stapp, of course, from Creed, and a great solo career as well. Scott, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, bro.
That's great.
Enjoying the beautiful weather in sunny California right now in Riverside.
Well, you know what? Well, Florida's your hometown, though, right?
Yeah, Boca Raton, actually.
Yeah, down in Boca.
Yeah, down in Boca. Man.
Yeah. Oh, we up here in the Northeast, we all know that because a lot of Italian Americans, we all go to Boca during the winter. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I moved there. I'm an Italian American.
There you go. you know, it's funny because I'm looking at like the beginnings there. You know, when Creed first came out, the first album was that Human Clay.
That was My Own Prison.
My Own Prison. Human Clay was the second album. And I remember because I've been here at PLR 25 years. You know, doing afternoons, and it doesn't seem like it was. It seemed like it was like 5-6 years ago that album came out. And it's 1990, what, 5, 6 or something around there?
It was 97 when My Own Prison came out, and 99 when Human Clay came out.
And all of a sudden, the band was, I mean, it was like the biggest thing around. I mean, it was unbelievable. You guys like came on the scene at a time when there was a lot of changes in music, where there was a lot of very heavy kind of music, rock-wise, but very deep with the vocals and lyrics, and you seem to have like spearheaded that. You know, reading a lot of your biography and stuff. I mean, you seem like you've gone through a lot of things. A lot of people in the industry do, but yet there seems to be this sort of, it's hard to put into words, like a quality that you have in telling a story and singing a song. It's very, very unique. You don't, let's put it this way, you don't sound like anybody else. It's like, that's Creed. Other people will sound like Creed, you know what I mean? Or sound like Scott Stapp. But I remember when that came out, it was like, the one, I think, was the first single that we played. And it was such a great tune to play.
Well, I tell you, it was an exciting run, man. And you know, the music business was in a different place. And I felt that as an artist at the time, and I really, really focused on trying to say something in my music, you know, having music that was speaking to the people that I was surrounded with, you know, blue collar middle America, man.
Yeah.
And you know, the real issues in life that I felt like myself as a human being and others as a human being were really, really dealing with.
Well, just
trying to be honest, man, through my music and tell the truth in every area, you know, the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Well, I think a lot of it also, I mean, you know, you almost make it sound like anybody can do this, and they can't. You did this because, yeah, I mean, obviously a great voice and songwriter, but, I mean, there's something about Scott Stapp as an individual, as a person, the life that you have led and lead, I mean, it's very deep, in other words. You seem to be a really deep kind of guy, you know? And obviously, well, that comes out.
Well, I tell you, you know, I lived a life of struggle growing up. That was, you know, much like most of us in America. You know, we don't come from anything. Just you know, either a single parent or two parents working hard. You know, living from check to check, you know, that was my beginnings. And you know, my family was very involved in the church. You know, because of the hope and the faith. That you know, they could make it through the day. You know, they got that from that, and my father was really, my stepfather was really, you know, made it a point to have me understand the Bible, and you know, he used to actually make me write the Bible,
write
it out, and write commentaries on what it meant to me, and then just going through life, always feeling that I was different. Because of that at the time, not knowing the other emotional issues and other things that I was carrying around that were making me feel that way anyway. You know, it left me with a lot of time alone and a lot of time soul searching. And even as a young child, you know, seeking God and just asking big questions and trying to contemplate, you know, you know, bigger things. And there was a lot of drama in that life growing up. And you know, I know there's millions out there that are going through that today and have gone through that. And I think that's why it struck a nerve, because I think millions of people could relate to that struggle.
Well, it's good that you could express yourself, because, you know, a lot of people have had demons in their lives. I mean, I certainly have, and you have too. And when you add religion, and especially heavy religion, because I think your stepfather was a minister or he was of the cloth.
He was actually a dentist, but he was a deacon in the church and led, you know, and preached some and led you know, Bible studies and Bible retreats and various things like that. So he was a full-time dentist and a part-time minister.
You know, that's a lot for a kid to handle at times, especially, you know, growing up in the rock and roll world. Teenagers nowadays, you know, when there's drugs and alcohol and partying and just doing stuff that kids do, you know, I've always found religion is a good thing. I'm not knocking it, you know, being a Catholic. Sometimes it can be really heavy too, and it could give you a lot of guilt and stuff that can make you do some things that normally you wouldn't do.
Oh, most definitely. You know, I was riddled with guilt as a child. You know, I was dealing with issues, you know, as a 12 and 13 and 14 year old preteen, or, you know, right in the middle of puberty, and dealing with heavy issues of heaven and hell and eternal damnation and it was as real to me as my parents were to me, that I could see. And so, you know, in having that upbringing, you know, it really set my mind off in a different way of thinking. And then I think, you know, being a student of you know, Proverbs and Psalms, in particular, you know, King David and King Solomon, and really having their words and their life stories and their struggles, you know, indoctrinated into me, I really related to them for some reason as a child. And I think that that's where, you know, the seed of being a songwriter and an artist came, because, as you know, King David was pretty much the first published songwriter in the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Psalms are just books and, you know, chapters and chapters of songs.
Of lyrics, pretty much.
Yeah, lyrics and songs that he wrote as he was being chased by King Saul, who was the reigning king, you know, trying to assassinate him because he had been anointed the new king of Israel. And so, you know, with all those heavy things, you know, it just set my mind off to think about life in a much different way. And always thinking that God was in control of everything, and there was a bigger picture. And so I guess as I matured and I got into, you know, college and started dealing with issues that were going on in the world and thinking about how that impacted me as a human being and just, you know, interpersonal communication with other human beings, and then having the roots that I came from, you know, my mind did begin to tackle some very big issues and heavy issues, and dealing with you know, friends passing at a young age and just the whole right and wrong and heaven and hell you know, that the guilt and shame that I was underneath, because I was such a human, you know, such a human who made mistakes. But I tell you, in hindsight, I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, you know, it's good that you had this venue to express yourself. Because I'm sure
definitely.
There's a lot of people that can't express themselves that way, and they, they turn to suicide, or they turn to a lot of drugs and alcohol, you know, we've all, you know, being in rock and roll, we've all been in that situation before. But you know, I guess with you, it was pretty much a savior to be able to sing and to write and to be in a band, great band too.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, that for a time that was, you know, the fulfillment of my destiny, I thought, and I thought that was the reason I was put on this planet.
And it did
save my life, you know, but also it opened up Pandora's box.
Well, exactly.
To a whole new world of things that I didn't have the tools as a human being to deal with. So I went down those roads of drugs and alcohol, and you almost have a sense of entitlement. that you're supposed to.
Exactly. You know? Well, that's what you've learned. That's what we've learned because we've seen this. History repeats itself. You know, and it's like exactly.
And, you know, my heroes, you know, were Jim Morrison and Kurt Cobain and Janis Joplin. Look at all of them; they're dead.
They're dead. Exactly. You know,
just by the grace of God that I'm alive today and able to be doing this interview and really in a fresh new place in my life where I've come through that.
I want to just take a minute out and remind everybody that you're going to be doing a show in Richfield, Connecticut, the Richfield Playhouse, on April 14th. Yeah. And I'll tell you something, you're going to love this venue. It's a very nice, intimate, older venue. It's really a cool place to play. I really think you're going to enjoy yourself up there. And I know everybody who's going will as well.
I love Connecticut. It's been so good to me over the years. And the fans there are amazing. And really looking forward to the show. And just, you know, presenting a show that kind of breaks it down from the big rock show and really presents the material and the songs in a more palatable way and allows me as a songwriter and a singer and a lyricist to really add subtle, you know, vocal idiosyncrasies that sometimes you can't hear in the big rock show, to put emphasis on certain lyrics and themes by the way I present the song in a different and fresh way. And it's got a really, really nice groove and vibe. It still has the energy and the dynamic of the big rock show, but I think it really gets the fans of the music and fans of music in general a chance to really understand, you know, these songs in a new way and at their root, you know, at the core, without all the bells and whistles.
Exactly.
Really allows me to tell, to be a storyteller.
Yeah.
And which is something that I've strived to.
Well,
that, my whole career.
That's obvious. I mean, just by listening to any of your songs, you can tell that there's a guy who's telling a story and a deep kind of guy, too. Creed had a great run from, what, around 95 you guys got together to, like, 2004, and you split up. Mark started the Alter Bridge, which is a great band. But the best news I liked, and it seems, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I work with a promoter up here, Jim Koplik, who is a very, very dear friend of mine and also a big fan of you and the band. And I remember he was saying, he told me first how you guys were getting back together, I think, and was it 07 or 08?
It was, we started talking about it in 08.
And you did,
and actually began getting back together and kind of redefining our friendships and developing new friendships and starting to write music in early 2009.
Yeah, and I thought that was great because you had a tour in 2009. You're up at the Meadows in Hartford here. It was a great show, and it was good to see that. It looked like fences were being mended. However, I like the fact that Mark Tremonti does his thing with Alter Bridge, and you're doing your thing on your solo career, and it looks like you guys get together when you can, and you know, it seems like it's the best of both worlds. It's
it really is. You know, it allows me to continue to create and write and explore, you know, new musical territory, new presentations of how I'm telling these stories that are different than how I was doing it when I write with Mark, and really allows me to grow as an artist and further and continue down my journey in life, but then come back, you know, with Mark, and we share a special writing relationship that, you know, in my opinion, can never be equaled by anyone we ever will work with.
Now, have you known him a long time? Was he like a childhood friend, or did you meet him? How did you hook up with him?
I first met, or first knew of Mark Tremonti on my way to Spanish class in 11th grade. I was walking by with the high school parking lot, and I saw this dude all dressed in black smoking cigarettes underneath his car. And I was like, man, that's why I play sports. I don't want to be like those guys. And, you know, he was the rock kid, you know, from Detroit.
In Boca Raton, Florida.
No, this was in Orlando, Florida.
Or in Orlando, Florida. Okay, yeah, but
cultural
shock.
Later on, when he was a junior in high school and I was a senior in high school, because we went to high school together, I went to my first high school party, and that was the first time that I knew Mark played guitar. I saw him sitting out sitting out back by himself playing the guitar, and I opened a sliding glass window, and I was like, Jumaane, I didn't know you played guitar, man. He's like, yeah. And I was like, dude, we should jam together sometime. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to. And, you know, we both ran in different circles, but they were still kind of, the school was so small.
Yeah.
You know, his girlfriend was one of my best friends. And so we all knew each other and all did things together. And that's where the beginnings of the relationship was formed, you know, in high school. And then, you know, he went to Georgia Southern and I went to Vandy and then another college called Lee College.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back to Orlando, and I was like, you know, I just felt it was time for me to pursue a music career and get a band together. And so, you know, after reading one of the books on the Doors, I read that Jim Morrison lived in Tallahassee. So, you know, in my young, you know, 19-year-old brain, I thought musicians grew on trees in Tallahassee. So I jumped on my motorcycle and drove up there and started putting flyers all over campus, you know, looking for a guitar player, looking for a drummer, looking for a bassist. And a friend of mine from high school who was there said, you know, Tremonti's up here. He just transferred. And so I think it was within 24 hours we got together. I'll never forget it. I was sitting on the floor in his little tiny apartment, and he was shredding away on guitar. And I didn't care whether I liked it or not. I just knew he was good.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's write songs together, man. And he was impressed with, you know, the material that I had and how I wrote music and my voice. And so we did it, man. And within, you know, 3 years of that day, we had, you know, rehearsed enough, found Scott Phillips and Brian Marshall, and put a demo together and had a record deal. And next thing you know, we're all over the world.
You know, that's a lot to digest for kids 19, 20 years old, you know, to do this and to all of a sudden be thrown into that world of, and then albums were still being sold. I mean, there wasn't a lot of downloads as there were today, but, you know, the record goes out and it starts selling, you guys start touring, and then all the other Pandora's box opens up. You know, then you have the access to all the drugs, all the women, all the booze. I mean, it's like every kid's dream, you know, or nightmare. And you know,
it starts out as a dream, and then, you know, history tells you it turns into a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I let's put it this way: I always wanted to be a really big rock star for about a month, and then that's it.
You know what? That it would be good if you could do that, brother. I tell you, but you know what? Everything that I've learned on this journey, and everything that I'll be, you know, talking about on my new solo album,
right. That's coming out. Is that coming out in the summer? Your new solo album?
There'll be a single out. I'm almost positive in June, and an album to follow. Whether right. that be at the end of summer or during the Christmas time, I'm still working on that with my label.
Is it one? You just have one solo album out, or is it two?
I've got one out right now.
Right,
my second.
This second one's coming out. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, it really tells a story from the beginning to the end of this journey through what I call the ego machine mm-hmm. of rock and roll and how it affected me mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
And then how
by the grace of God, man, and by the love of this wonderful woman I met,
mm-hmm.
who's a part of saving my life and my three children, how it saved my life and how God saved my life through that. And you know, I really hope that through a book that I'm writing with legendary author David Ritz, who co-wrote Ray Charles' book, Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye, and to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really hope to and will, through this album and through this book, share my story in the attempt to lay it all out there. You know, the highs, the lows. It's not going to be your typical rock and roll book. It's really going to talk about the journey on a much deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that it can do what, you know, what the music I've been told has done in a lot of people's lives, you know, provide them some of the avenues that are out there. And it doesn't matter whether you're in rock and roll or whether, you know, you're working at TGI Fridays or you're a school teacher or you're a lawyer or you're a doctor. It doesn't matter. We all have these same pitfalls in life.
Yeah, that's true.
No matter what level you're at.
They're very
and
true.
I really hope that through sharing my experience and that I can provide some strength and hope for others who may be going through these same things or to help some of these young people today avoid some of the same pitfalls that I have, and really show them that by the grace of God, how I made it through, and hopefully give them some hope.
Yeah, you know, I like what you're saying, and of course, by the grace of God, go I. You know, is a mantra that's used a lot in recovery, and you know, I of course being a member of the club and have been there and done that. You know, I definitely dig what you're saying, and it sounds like you're in a good place now. You know, because you know, I've never met you before. I mean, I'm a fan of the music, and when it first came out, it was very, very deep, and it was very soulful, and it was, you know, a lot of people thought of you as being a Christian rock band, and I don't know if that's a fair label or not.
We weren't. We were kind of hit out of left field when we started getting those questions that we were asked, and
exactly.
From a lot of different levels, you know, we knew we weren't living that kind of life.
Yeah.
But you know, I did talk about things in the song, because I was trying to still figure out my place in this world and my connection to my higher power.
It's funny because Scott, you know, the songs, I mean, the you know, the higher and with arms wide open, I mean, there's some, and One Last Breath. I mean, I guess it's just the way you sing and your voice. It's like comforting. It's sort of religious in a way, you know what I mean? And
a very spiritual thing. It's a very spiritual thing for me, you know.
Jim Morrison was the same way. Look at him. Look at his performances. Those were very religious performances. And though he was not a religious guy, but it was like a religious experience, you know, to see that something that's greater than I, you know. And not to put you on a pedestal, but to say that, you know, when I hear you sing and hear the band playing songs like this, you get moved by it. So we put you on a certain, not pedestal, but a certain level there.
Well, it's appropriate because through all of that, you know, I always had a connection with God, even when I was living in sin, you know, almost making excuses and rationalizations to God that, okay, God, I got to do this because that way, I'll have more credibility when I'm trying to help somebody else not do it when they're older, when I'm older. You know, I made all kinds of deals with God.
Yeah.
God was always a part of my life, even through my darkest and times I was so far away from Him. And you know, the experience on stage and the experience writing the songs and making the records was a spiritual experience for me. You know, I was constantly doing an inventory on my record of my life and my mind and my soul and always, you know, defaulting and leaning back to, you know, God, you know. And when I get on stage, you know, as I've gone through my career, I've realized that things are good in my life when it's not about me. When I step out of the way and just let something greater than myself take over.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, how you doing right now? You sound good, but I sense a, you know, still a little apprehension in your voice. I mean, is everything going well for you now?
You know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm connected with my spiritual self. I'm sober. I've got a great group of people around me, and I'm making music and I'm playing music. I think the apprehension comes sometimes in not feeling like I'm not articulating myself as appropriately or as I should.
I got the same problem. I always feel as though I got to make people understand what I'm saying when actually you got to learn to say, fuck it. If they don't understand, they don't understand. It's not my job to make you believe me. You know what I mean? I've learned that over, you know, 25 years of, you know, being in and out of recovery, that you got to get to a point where, you know what, you got to take care of yourself. And what you're saying, it sounds good. You surround yourself with good people. You're sober. Children, to me, is the key. I've got three kids myself. They're older now. But you know what? That's what it's all about. You know what I mean?
That is what it's all about, man. I've got three myself. You know, they're just the lights of my life.
It's an awesome feeling. It really is. Are they? What do you got? Girls or boys, or a couple of each?
I have two boys and a girl.
Okay.
I have a 12-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 9-month-old.
9 months old.
Yeah, little Daniel.
Oh, and, awesome.
You know, they're just gifts from God, man.
Is the girl, your daughter, the oldest, or in the middle?
My daughter's 4. She's in the middle.
I had three girls, 3 daughters, and I tell you, it's, you know, I never had sons. I got nephews, but I tell you, something about little girls.
She's definitely daddy's little girl.
Oh, and at 4 years old?
Wrapped around her finger.
Oh, you don't stand a chance, man. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
And my youngest now is 21, and I still don't stand a chance. Scott, listen, I could talk to you all day. You sound like a great guy. I'd love to meet you. When you come up to Richfield, I'm going to try to make up to that show. Let me remind the audience that Scott Stapp is going to be at the Richfield Playhouse. Tickets are on sale now. We're going to be giving them away on the radio, and that's going to be April the 14th, a Thursday night, the Richfield Playhouse. I can't urge you enough to go see this guy, and I'm glad to see you in a really good spot, man. You seem like a really cool dude, and I hope to meet you one day.
Yeah, bro, I'd love to meet you at the show, man, and thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
You got it, Scott. Thank you, man.
All right, man. Take care. See you at the show.
You got it.
All right.
Okay, man. Thanks.